Good to see a family singing to the Lord together. Amen? Amen. Amen. Boys and girls, you may go to children's church now, 4 years old through five, kindergarten, and then older boys and girls are having play practice, so I believe that's through eighth grade, so you may go to do that now. You should have received an outline in your bulletin. The rest of it, if you didn't get one, raise your hand, our ushers will get you one of those. And you can turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I know when you came in this morning, it was probably some lovely, beautiful flakes coming down outside. Amen. How many of you love that? A few, yeah, that's quite a few. It's quite a few. All right, good deal. Well, whoever prayed for the white Thanksgiving got it, all right? So if you were dreaming of a white Thanksgiving, here it is. So, amen. Well, this morning we're going to be wrapping up our series on stewardship entitled Totally His. And we've been talking about this, and I did ask Brother Dan and Brother Kevin to kind of share with us a little bit about e-giving, and you say, well, Pastor, I don't really like to talk about that and stuff like that. And listen, here's the deal. We're not going to stop taking up an offering in worship service, okay? And I believe that we shouldn't limit the way we give. Some of you may say, well, Pastor, that's too automatic for me. Well, guess what? I'm going to say, yes, that's the idea, okay? The e-giving, that's the idea. Here's what God calls us to do. God calls us to be faithful. Amen? He calls us to be faithful in honoring Him. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in relation to our finances, but also in our entire lives. He calls us to put Him first. And if you don't do that, then I think you really need to ask yourself some hard questions. And we're going to talk about that this morning. But I just really want to encourage you to be faithful. Listen, I don't care how you are faithful. Amen? Be faithful because God is going to just bless you because of it, okay? So you be faithful. Back in 1990, how many of you remember the year 1990? Can you believe that's 23 years ago now? You know? Wow, that's just unbelievable, okay? That's a year after I graduated from high school, and hard to believe that it was that many years ago now. But in 1990, a man by the name of Kerry Packer, who is a media tycoon and billionaire from Australia, was playing polo in the western suburbs of Sydney, Australia, when all of a sudden he collapsed with a heart attack. After he collapsed, his heart actually stopped beating totally for about 6 minutes before the ambulance arrived. Fortunately for him, the ambulance that came to the scene had a heart defibrillator on board. And because it did, the paramedics were able to jump start his heart, get it going again, and actually save his life. He was grateful for that. Amen? He was grateful they had a defibrillator on board. And as you can imagine, he was grateful that they were able to save his life. Now, I want to ask you a question. With that in mind, what do you think would have been a reasonable response by this man for his life being saved like that? What do you think would be a reasonable response of thankfulness to these people or to whatever as a response, as a expression of his thanks for what had been done in saving his life? Well, I'm going to let you think about that for a few minutes, all right? I want you to ponder that, and we'll come back to that in just a few minutes. It's kind of, you never had a cliffhanger in the middle of a sermon before, right? Well, this is your cliffhanger, okay? And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But I want to ask you a similar, but I believe more important question to ponder this morning. And that is this. What do you think is an appropriate response for us as Christians as to how we should live seeing what Jesus Christ has done for us? What do you think is an appropriate response? In other words, friends, since we've been saved from hell's eternal flames, amen, are you glad for that? Since we've been saved from hell's eternal flames and our names have been written in heaven if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, how now shall we live? What kind of life, based on that, should we live now as Christians? Well, I believe in our text this morning here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul, I believe, tells us how we ought to live now based on that. So let's look at our text this morning. And listen, this is a verse that many of you probably memorized as a kid. And if you didn't, here's the thing. I want to challenge you to just memorize it this morning. We're going to be reading this over and over again this morning. So I want to challenge you just to put it in your brain, to turn that thinking cap on, right? And let's memorize this morning. Look at Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, friends, here in the beginning of verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore. And anytime we see the word therefore in the scripture, we need to ask a question. We need to ask, what is it therefore? Why is it there? Therefore is a connector. And it's connecting chapter 12, specifically verse 1 here, with the things that come before it. You see, throughout the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul has outlined the wonderful depths of our salvation. Amen? He started all the way back in chapter 1 in talking about the magnitude of sin, and specifically the magnitude of our sin and how it is an affront to a holy God. And then he goes on in Romans and to talk about how our sin has separated us from God. Amen? Because we are sinners, we are separated from a holy God. He goes on to talk about the judgment that is rightfully due us because of our sin. You remember Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But he goes on after that to talk about the good news, and that's the second part of that verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he talks about, yes, we have a great need in sin, but he also talks about God's provision for that he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross as the substitute for our sin, to pay the penalty for our sins so that he can forgive us, so that our sin had to be paid for, right? He sent Christ to the cross so that price would be paid and that he can now adopt us as children. Did you know if you're in Christ, if you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you've been adopted into God's family? You are his child. Do you know the moment you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of your heart? To comfort you, to lead you, to guide you, to be with you every step of this life? That's good news, amen? Did you know if you're a child of God, there is an inheritance, uncorrupted and undefiled, waiting in heaven for you? Amen? Those are some many wonderful blessings we have because of what Christ has done for us. All through the first 11 chapters of Romans, he outlines all of this wonderfully, doctrinally, that God's mercy is great, amen? That his blessings are beyond compare. His grace is immeasurable. So because of all that, Paul comes here to chapter 12, verse 1, therefore. Because of all of that, therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Paul urges us here to live a life characterized by four things because of everything that Christ has done for us. You know, here's the thing, and some of you are going to hear me today, and you're going to think, you know what, Pastor, I'm not sure I want to be one of those kind of Christians. I'm not sure I want to be one of those wacko Christians who are kind of out there, and they're just, they talk about Jesus all the time. And they talk about how Jesus died for them. And they're just, everything they talk about is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm living for the Lord. I'm serving God. All this stuff. And friends, what I want to share with you this morning is that's how we have to live. Amen? Because if we truly understand what Christ has done for us, and we truly understand and accepted the wonderful gift of salvation that he has given for us on the cross, then that's going to change the way we live. Amen? And it's going to change the way we live. We're going to, in many, many ways. But Paul kind of outlines that here in verse 1. Paul urges us, because of all those things, to live a life characterized by four things. Number one, take your outline this morning. Number one, first of all, he encourages us to live a life that is sacrificial. That is sacrificial. I don't know, Pastor. That's a little weird for me. Okay, I don't know that I can I don't know that I really want to live a life that's, I don't want to sacrifice anything. I don't want to give up anything. I'm living this life for me. Paul here says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, I don't know about you. How many of you have used the word beseech in a sentence lately? Probably not, right? Probably not. You know, some of your versions have it translated, I urge you, therefore, brethren. It's a strong, compelling. Paul said, I compel you, I beg you, I plead you, based on what? Based on by the mercies of God, everything we just talked about, because of God's wonderful grace, because of the wonderful mercy that he has had upon our soul in sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, and the wonderful grace that he has bestowed upon us when we put our faith and trust in Christ. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by those mercies, to do what? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, the word present here means to yield or to surrender. And it's kind of, it's a little bit weird for us here. The imagery here is that of of the Old Testament and making an Old Testament sacrifice. When they were to make a sacrifice, the priest would bring and would lay that unblemished animal on the altar and would sacrifice it. Now, Pastor, are you talking about human sacrifice here? No, we're not talking about human sacrifice. Now, in ancient times, there are other religions that required human sacrifice. That's not something what's being talked about here. And that's why Paul puts a qualifier in there. He says, we are to give ourselves as a sacrifice back to Jesus for what he's done for us, but not a dead sacrifice, but a what? Living sacrifice, a living sacrifice. So how do we die yet live? Friends, when we come to Jesus Christ, we set aside all of our wants, desires, all of what we think we're going to do with life, and we die to that. We die to those things, and we now come alive to Jesus Christ. Amen? We die to our old self. We've been risen to a new life in Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, because of what Christ has done for us, he wants to urge us, calls us, compels us to lay our life back on the altar to God as an offering, as a sacrifice, as a gift to God, not dead, but while we're still alive. Amen? So that while we're alive, we offer our life in service to God as a living sacrifice to him. Amen? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. This is one of my favorite verses. I love this verse because I think it so succinctly says what we're talking about today. It says, and he died for all. Now, who's the he? Jesus. Jesus died for us. Amen? Did he die for you so you could sit in the pew and soak? Okay, he did not. He did not die for you did he die for you so that you can sour in your attitude? Did he die for you so that you can just do what you want to do? And look at what it says. And he died for all, that those who live, in other words, if you've trusted in him and you now live in him, should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. In other words, because he died for us, if you've trusted, put your faith and trust in him, and you now live in him, what should we do? I should no longer live with Scott on the throne of my life. But now, who's on the throne of my life? Jesus is on the throne of my life. I no longer live for myself, but I live for him who died for me and rose again. Amen? One Sunday morning, and the offering was being taken up in a church, and the offering plate was being passed, and as it came to the end of one aisle, a little girl was sitting there, and as the plate came to her, she took the offering plate, she sat it down on the floor, and she stood up, and she stood inside the offering plate. Yeah, what's going on here? Well, that's what the usher thought exactly. He was kind of, what in the world's going on here? And for a minute, he didn't know what to do, but he finally leaned over very politely and said, excuse me, honey, he said, what are you doing? You know, he didn't know he was supposed to pick it up and carry it on back out. What? He said, excuse me, honey, what are you doing? She said, this morning in Sunday school, our Sunday school teacher told us that we're supposed to give our whole selves to God. And that's what I'm trying to do. That's a cute little story. But you know what? I think there's some great application for us. How do we give ourselves to the Lord? How do we live sacrificially for him? Friends, I want to give you some things. These are not in your outline and stuff, but I want to encourage you to write these down. I want to give you some ideas. What does it mean to live sacrificially? How do we live sacrificially? First of all, friends, don't give God your leftovers. Give Him your best. Amen? Give Him your best. We're going to talk a little bit more about this in a few minutes, but we did talk about this last week. Remember, we talked about this last week in relation to our finances, and we said instead of giving God what's left over at the end of the month, we need to give God out of our first fruits. We need to give to Him first. Amen? What happens? We talked about this. We said, what happens if we don't plan to give to the Lord first? We spend too much, we save too little, and we give God the leftovers if there are any. Amen? Okay, so what does Scripture call us to do? Scripture calls us to flip that upside down, right? To give to God first. If He is Lord of our life, if we've trusted Him as our Lord and Savior, and we understand what He's done for us, friends, that's what that means, that He is first place in our life. And so we give Him first place, and we give to Him. Don't give Him your leftovers. Give Him your best. Why is it that we have a tendency, that when we have a tendency when we're done with something, when we want to get rid of something, especially around the house, what do? You know, we got an old couch. That couch is worn out. You know what? Let's just give it to the church, right? Let's give it to the church. You know, I bet those youth could use that, right? Let's give it to the youth, you know? And that's the way we think sometimes, you know? And if we think, well, the church can't, well, you know what? The Catholics can use it, right? Because they're taking up stuff and whatever. But here's the deal. I want to change your thinking, all right? I want to change your thinking this morning. I want you to take your hands like this and just say, we're going to change our thinking, all right? We're going to change our thinking, all right? That's a little weird. We're going to change our thinking this morning. I want to challenge you not to think, oh, you know what, whatever's left over, whatever I'm done using, I get the good use out of it, then I'm going to give it to God or give it to whatever, give it to somebody else and whatever. You know, I want to change your thinking, okay? Why don't we give God and buy God the good stuff and we keep our own junk and use it ourselves? Amen? Amen? Let's stop trying to give God our junk, give Him leftovers, give Him second best. Let's give God first of all, amen? Let's give it to God. Let's buy something for somebody else, amen? And let's keep our own junk, amen? Okay, so let's change our thinking, friends. Let's not give God our leftovers. Let's give Him our best. We'll talk about that a little bit more here in just a second. Second way we can give sacrificially and live sacrificially is this. Put God's agenda first before you proceed with your own. Put God's agenda first before you proceed with your own. You know, some people, we can come up with good excuses, can't we? How many in here are a good excuse maker? All right, let's just admit it, right? We can come up with some good excuses. We can come up with some good excuses. Oh, Pastor, you know, I'd really like to do that. I'm just too busy. I really just don't have time. Well, let me ask you a question. What or who or what does your schedule revolve around? What does your schedule revolve around? Does it revolve around your work? Is the first thing you put on your calendar your work stuff? Does your schedule revolve around your kids? All right, honey, we got to put down, you know, when the kids have ball and when we got to pick them up from school and when we got to take them to this birthday party and blah, blah, blah. That's a lot of times, parents. I know that's the way things happen and stuff like this. Or does it just revolve around you, you know? I know I signed up for this, or I know I committed to this and stuff, but you know what? Time comes around, and I just don't feel like going. So, you know, I got busy and just couldn't come and stuff like that. Here's what I want to propose to you. Again, change in thinking. Amen? Change in thinking. Why don't we let our schedules revolve around what God wants us to do instead of just what we want or something else? Amen? We need to put God's agenda first. You see, when we say Jesus Christ is Lord of our life, it means that He's first in our life. So friends, it means that God's agenda ought to come before our own agenda. Amen? In every area of our life, in serving Him, in growing, in worshiping, all of those things, friends, we need to ask what God wants instead of what I want. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you didn't do something you wanted to do in order to serve the Lord in some way? When was the last time you had a conflict and there was something you wanted to do? Boy, my buddies invited me over to watch a football game, yet I can go to Bible study, or I can serve the Lord in Awana. When was the last time you chose what God wanted you to do? I want to challenge you, friends, that we put God's agenda first, all right? Now listen, it doesn't mean that you can't do other things that are not ungodly, okay? It doesn't mean that God's going to say, oh, your life's not, you can't ever have any fun and those kind of things. But friends, here's the principle we need to understand and we need to apply. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And friends, I believe that applies. Listen, if you seek after what you want and you try to get what you want in life, then guess what? It's going to be, you're going to be like grasping at straws. You're never going to get it. You're never going to find what truly satisfies your soul, what you think will make you happy, friends. But if we'll seek first the God and his kingdom, then guess what? He will give us everything that we really need and everything that our heart ultimately desires. Amen? I'm not talking about physical stuff, but I'm saying he will give you the longings of your heart. And let me give you a clue here. Most of us don't even have a clue what the longings of our heart really are. We think we know, don't we? We think we know what we want. But friends, we want, deep down inside, we want contentment. We want to be satisfied. We want to have purpose in life. And if we'll seek God first, he will fulfill the true desires of our heart. Amen? So friends, put God's agenda first before our own. The third way we can live sacrificially is this, friends. And this is a simple one, but I believe it's something we just really need to think about, friends, is be willing to do whatever it takes to serve the Lord. Be willing to do whatever it takes to serve the Lord. How do we live sacrificially? Now this is going to be a shocker to you, okay? Paul calls us to live a life that to be a living sacrifice and to live sacrificially. Did you know in order to live sacrificially, sometimes you actually have to make sacrifices? I know that may sound like a foreign concept, okay? But if we're going to live sacrificially in response to what Christ has done for us, you say, yes, Pastor, I want to live sacrificially. And then tonight, instead of whatever, you know, then you've gone off and done something else. No, listen, we've got to live sacrificially. There are sacrifices that we have to make. There are sacrifices we have to make to give. Amen? You know, the missionaries, we looked at one this morning that we're going to be giving to here in a few weeks when we take up the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. You think those missionaries had to make sacrifices? Absolutely they have. They've had to leave their families, many of them. Leave mom and dad and cousins and whatever and go to a foreign country somewhere where there are no babysitters that they have right around the corner. Amen? You know? And we can barely give anything to give to support them of spreading the gospel. Friends, when was the last time you gave up something that you wanted to buy or a meal that you wanted to go out and have in order to give that money to missions? Or to dedicate it to the Lord and give it to God for something. When was the last time, in making sacrifices, sometimes that means getting outside of our comfort zone too, amen? Oh, Pastor, I'll do whatever you need me to do. Well, how about this? Ooh, Pastor, I don't really feel comfortable about that. I can't do that. That's just not in my giftedness. You know, we put spiritual words on it, don't we? Pastor, that's just not in my giftedness. That's not what God's called me to do. You know what? Sometimes God calls us to clean the toilets. Somebody's got to clean the toilets. Amen? And, none of us are going to be jumping up and down and saying, Pastor, God's called me to clean. No, friends, here's the deal. Sometimes God calls us to do stuff that's going to get outside of our comfort zone. And let me say this morning. In fact, if you think you're always saying yes to God, but you are never getting outside of your comfort zone, I would challenge you to say you're not really saying yes to God at all. You're saying yes to what you want to do on God's behalf. You see, when God calls us, God always calls us to get outside of our comfort zone. So if you're not getting outside your comfort zone, you're not really saying yes to God. That'll cause us to think, amen? So we need to think about that, friends. We need to think about, friends, when was the last time serving the Lord actually cost me something? Matthew 16:24 says this, and Tom, in God's providence, quoted a part of this morning. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his soul? Friends, we are called to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And that means that from time to time, we're actually going to have to make sacrifices for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? General William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, was asked by an evangelist what the secret was of God using him in such an effective way. I want you to listen to what he says, because I think, I love this. I love what he says. He says this. He says, other people have greater minds. I can amen to that, right? There's a lot of people a lot smarter than I am, okay? He says, other people have more talent. Amen to that one, right? Can you say amen to that? Other people have more talent. He says, other people have greater resources. There's people out there that have a lot more resources than any of us do. But here's what he says. Other people have greater minds, more talent, greater resources, but God has gotten all there is of me. That's all God wants. He doesn't want more than what you have to get, what you can give, okay? He wants you. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not only does Paul encourage us to live a life that is sacrificial, but also, number two, friends, Paul calls us to live a life that is dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. I beseech you, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of what he's done for you, that you present, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy to the Lord. Friends, we hear the word holy, we think of moral purity, don't we? We think of righteousness. And friends, that is definitely part of it. But the word holy means so much more than that. The word holy literally means set apart. Set apart. And when it's used of God, it's talking about that God is set apart from all that is holy, from all that is profane. God is holy because he is different, other than set apart from all that is profane in the world. I want to illustrate this a little bit to you, what it means to be set apart, what it means really to be holy in a sense. If you were to look at my checkbook, you would look at it and you'd say, whoa, pastor, what in the world's going on here? And you say, what do you mean? Well, you look at my checkbook, and of course you see the regular stuff, but then you start looking around in there, and I've got accounts and sub-accounts inside of accounts inside of my checkbook and stuff. And so I've got accounts where I take money when I get paid and every month, and I take money and I set it aside in a special account. I set it aside, one for taxes, and I set some aside for repairs, and I set some aside for maybe something special we're saving up for, and I set that money aside for these special purposes. Now, every now and then, I get a thing saying, well, okay, well, we need some money here, so maybe I could take it from over here. No, that money is what? Set aside. It's set aside for that. It is set aside for whatever. It is dedicated for that purpose. It is consecrated for that purpose. It is devoted for that purpose and that purpose alone. Friends, that's what we're talking about. When we are to be holy, we are to be set apart. We are to dedicate ourselves for the Lord's purposes. Amen? So when other things come up and stuff, and well, can you do this? My filter going on. You know what? I am set apart for the Lord's purposes. Amen? I am set apart for him. I want to ask you a question. Have you considered that you are called, that you are set aside for a special purpose by God? God has set you apart. He has called you out. He is urging you, as Paul says here, to be holy, set apart for a special purpose. And that because of that, friends, we should be consecrated. We should be dedicated. We should be devoted completely to the Lord in our time, in our talent, and yes, in our resources. You see, friends, here's what we need to understand. If you're saved, you belong to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says this, "For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You see, friends, we need to understand that our lives are no longer our own. Our lives are no longer our own. If I'm saved, I cannot just simply do what I want to do. I've got to do what God wants me to do. Amen?
I've got to serve God. I've got to do what He wants me to do. And friends, the longer I'm saved, the more that should be. Amen? The more that should be. The longer I'm saved, the more God changes my desires into His desires. And He changes my wants into His wants. And so, friends, I've got to do what God wants me to do. And let me say this. Friends, if you have no desire to do what God wants you to do, then we need to ask ourselves a serious question here. Am I really His? Do I really belong to the Lord? If I have no desire to serve the Lord and to put Him first and to make His agenda first agenda in my life, then do I really belong to Him? Friends, Paul calls us to a life that is dedicated to the Lord. Amen? Set aside for His purposes. Number three, Paul calls us to live a life that is pleasing to God. That is pleasing to God. I beseech you, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, set apart, acceptable to God. This term is actually connected to the last term, holy. Friends, did you know that in the Old Testament, in order for a sacrifice to be acceptable, it had to be without blemish. It had to be blameless. It had to be without spot or blemish. Look at Leviticus chapter 22. It says, whatever has a defect you shall not offer, for it shall not be acceptable on your behalf. And whoever offers a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord to fulfill his vow, or a freewill offering from the cattle or the sheep, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. You see, when the Israelites made sacrifices to the Lord, they were to offer an animal that was without spot or blemish. So, but you say, Pastor said, are we supposed to be perfect? Friends, listen, you're missing the point. Listen, no animal here on earth was ever perfect. Amen? It was never perfect. You say, but it says it has to be without spot, without blemish. You see, friends, there's no animal that's perfect. But here's what God was saying, is that when you go out, for them, when they went out to their flock, they were to look for the best animal of their flock, the absolute best, and that was the one they were to sacrifice to the Lord. They weren't to go out and say, okay, well, which one here? Oh, this one that's hopping along and doesn't have any eyes and can't see and everything. I'm going to take him and I'm going to sacrifice him to the Lord. But that's kind of what we do sometimes, isn't it? I want you to listen to what God says. Turn over to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. You say, Pastor, I've never heard of Malachi. Well, if we're in the New Testament, take a left. And right after you get past Matthew, going backwards, you're going to hit Malachi, okay? It's the last book in the Old Testament. And if your pages are thin like mine, you may have a little hard time getting to it there. Malachi chapter 1. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says this. Says, and God is speaking here. God is speaking through Malachi to the priests. Look at what he says. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? He says, you offer defiled food on my altar. But say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer, here's what he gets to the point right here. He says, when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? What were they doing? They were doing what we just talked about. They weren't offering their best. They were offering animals that were blind and lame and sick. They were offering to the Lord. God says, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Look at verse 14. But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow. What does that mean? It means he said he's going to give God his first fruits. He's taking the vow saying, yes, God, I'm going to give my best to you. But instead, look at what it says. But instead sacrifices to the Lord that which is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. You see, friends, here in Malachi, God rebukes the priests who brought animals to be sacrificed that were not without blemish. The people were required to bring God their best. That is what pleases the Lord. Now, please don't misunderstand me here, okay? Our sacrifices, our offerings that we offer to God now are not for our salvation. Amen? That sacrifice has been offered once for all on the cross. Jesus Christ was the spotless Lamb of the world that takes away our sin. Amen? And God ordained him, and God put his seal on him, saying, he is the one, and his life can pay the penalty for your sins. So Jesus was the spotless Lamb of the world. God offered in his own Son the ultimate sacrifice in paying for our sins. Amen? But what he's calling us to now, and what Paul's calling us to in Romans chapter 12, is in response. We don't offer sacrifices. We don't do these things in order to be saved. Paul urges us to do these things because we've been saved. Amen? Because we've been pardoned. Because we've been redeemed. Amen? We've been freed from the power of sin. We've been freed from the penalty of sin. And if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can shout till the cows come home. Amen? And because of that, friends, now we are supposed to live a life given on the altar, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. You see, giving God our best shows the Lord that he is important to us. It is a symbol of our love for him. Amen? How about you? Do you offer God your best? Or do you give him what's left over? You say, okay, God, whatever time I have left this week, that's yours, God. I'm going to give you whatever time I have left. God, whatever I have left after I pay all the bills, that's yours. We know what that usually is, amen? What energy I have left, God, what energy I have left after I work, after I do the things I need to do around the house, after I take care of everything else, Lord, whatever energy I have left, I give it to you, God. What energy is that? Right? That's about all that's left, okay? So, friends, we need to put God first, amen? Give him our first. Give him your best. If we don't put God first in our plans, friends, that's exactly what we're saying. If we don't orient our time around him, if we don't put him first in our giving, if we don't give him our first and our best effort, friends, what we are saying is, God, you are second best in my life. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to say that to the Lord. Amen? I want my life to demonstrate what my mouth says. Put your money where your mouth is, right? Put your life where your mouth is. Or stop fooling yourself. That's what the Bible says. Friends, that leads us right into number 4. And that is this. The Apostle Paul urges us to not only live a life that is sacrificial. He urges us to not only live a life that is dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. He urges us to not only live a life that is pleasing to God, friends, but number 4, he urges us to live a life that is an appropriate response to Christ's love for us. Amen? You know, we started off this morning with the story of the guy named Kerry Packer, who had a heart attack and his heart stopped beating for 6 minutes. And fortunately for him, because the ambulance that came to rescue him had a defibrillator on board, they were able to revive him and to save him, and he was able to continue to live his life. I asked you a question then. I gave you some time to think about it now. What do you think would have been a proper response on his part of thankfulness? You know, as we think about that, you know, I guess he could have rewarded the paramedics. He could have rewarded the paramedics for coming out and saving his life and so forth, and maybe he did that. He could have rewarded the bystander who kept him alive with CPR until the ambulance could get there. And who knows, maybe he did that as well. But friends, the more significant response and most fitting response was what he actually did. Kerry Packer decided to pay for every single ambulance in New South Wales, Australia, 888 of them to be exact, to be equipped with a defibrillator. He said that he wanted to make sure that anyone else who suffered a heart attack like he had the same chances of survival. Now, friends, I think that was a pretty fitting response, right? It was a pretty appropriate response. But my question to you is this. But what is an appropriate response on our part to what Christ has done for us? Look at your text again this morning. That's why Paul says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, I urge you, I compel you, I call you, I plead with you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, if you have received God's mercy, if you know, if you have experienced the mercy of God, the grace of God poured out on the cross, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, dead yet alive and given over to God. Amen? Holy, set apart, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The word reasonable here comes from the Greek word logikos. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what English word we get from that. What English word do we get from that? It's only logical. It only makes sense that Christ gave his life for us. In response, because of that, not in order to earn your salvation, but because of what he's done for us, I'm going to lay my life on the altar to God. God, I give you my life to serve you 100% completely. I want to ask you a question. Have you done that? Have you given your life over to God? You say, well, Pastor, I'm a little scared of what that might mean. Hey, I can understand that, and I appreciate that. Here's the deal. I would encourage you not to worry about that part of it. Let God fill in the rest. Amen? Here's what I believe our salvation is like. When we, because God has saved us, and we've been making Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, I believe it is a lot like signing the bottom of a blank contract. You say, Pastor, you'd be stupid to do that. Nobody would do that. Would you do that? You know, when you bought your house, you bought your car. Remember how long the contracts are? You know, and the fine print. Anybody read all the fine print? Anybody read all that fine print? You don't read it anyway, right? They could put all this stuff. They could put whatever they want in there. You didn't read it. Don't you trust God? Do you trust him? Do you trust him that he has your best interest at heart? Let me ask you, do you trust God that he has a better life planned for you than you could ever plan out on your own? Do you or do you not? Then let's sign it, amen? Let's give it over to the Lord. Let's give our life back to service in him. You say, but Pastor, I'm scared of what that means. Listen, who cares what it means? I want God's best for me, not my best. Listen, God can dream a lot bigger than I can, amen? You know, Scott's plan wouldn't be here in South Bend, Indiana right now. You say, praise God, because I wouldn't be here either if it was my plan, okay? Listen. But I want to tell you something. The blessings that have come by seeing what God is doing in you and through you here at Southside are beyond warm weather. Amen? They're beyond anything that we can plan in and of our own. I want to read to you and close with this. David Livingstone, the renowned and noble missionary to Africa, who went through lots of stuff. He sacrificed as much as any human being on the face of the planet serving the Lord. And here's what he says, though, when asked about that. He says, people talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. He says, can that be called sacrifice, which is simply paid back as a small part of the great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay? Amen? Is that a sacrifice which brings its own reward of healthful activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and bright hope of glorious destiny hereafter? Away with such a word, such a view, such a thought. It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it's a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, or danger now and then, with a foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of this life, it may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and sink, but let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall hereafter be revealed in and for us. Amen? Listen to what he says. He says, I never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not talk when we remember the great sacrifice which he made who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us. Amen? Have you given yourself in your life to the Lord Jesus Christ in response for what he's done for you? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Pastor, I hear what you're talking about. That just sounds too extreme for me. Let me boil it down to what it's really all about. Friends, we are sinners. We've all sinned. We've all sinned against a holy God. And because of our sin, the Bible says that our sin separates us from God. And the problem is, if we die in our sin, we're not going to go be with God. We're going to go be apart from God from all eternity in a place called hell. The wonderful news is that God says in His Word that He does not want anybody to go there, but He wants us to turn from our sin and repent. And He wants to forgive us for our sin. But He can't just wink at our sin. We've sinned. There's been a crime committed. So He says, guess what? He says, I'll pay the penalty for your crime. I'll pay the fine for you. And so what He does to do that is He sends His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And He says, if you'll just simply trust that I'm doing this for you and you will receive the forgiveness that I'm offering to you. He says, I'm paying the penalty for your sin. He said, I'm willing to adopt you into my family if you will simply believe with all your heart that what I'm doing and saying I do for you is true. So friend, we're called. We have a choice. We're going to spend eternity separated from God, or we want to come to God. And Jesus says that here's how we follow Him. We have to believe that He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin and rose again. We turn from doing life our own way and say, Jesus, I believe You did that for me, and I want to follow You, and I want to do life Your way. I want to trust what You did on the cross as payment for my sin. And I want to let You come into my life and be the boss of my life. Friends, if that's the desire of your heart, if you'll simply say, Jesus Christ, I believe You did all that for me. I invite You right now to come into my life. I ask You to save me from my sin. I ask You to please write my name in heaven. And as I live now for You. Friends, if you've never done that, I want to encourage you right now. You can pray right in your seat. If you have more questions about that, you want to talk more about that, here in just a moment, we're going to have what's called our time of decision. And I want to invite you to come down front. You can talk with me, Brother Josh. We have others available that can talk to you and explain more about this if you have questions. Many of you are here this morning and you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you stop somewhere short of living your life fully and completely for Him. I just want to open up our altar. Listen, I don't know what God's saying to you this morning, but I tell you, He's calling you to Himself, to be fully committed to Him, to be fully surrendered to Him. You want somebody to pray with you? Come grab somebody. Just want to open our altar this morning for you. Maybe you've been searching for a church home. Listen, we'd love for you to be a part of what God's doing here at Southside, and now's the time you can make Southside your church home. So here in just a minute, we're going to have a quick prayer, and then we're going to say amen. As soon as we do, I want to invite you to come. Whatever decision it is you need to make this morning, would you come and do business with God? Our altar is open. Dear Heavenly Father, You hear our hearts. Lord, we are so thankful for what You've done for us. Lord, help us now just simply respond to You with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. You come as we sing.